But before we can study effectively, we must study the right Bible. Okay? And so that's if there is a right Bible, then there is a wrong Bible. We can assume that, right? Okay. Well, there's a right Bible and the wrong Bibles. All right? So we'll take a look at that today. And you see, if one is going to study the Bible effectively, it must be studied as a holy and inspired and authoritative word of God. Okay? Now, you can't study the Bible if you do not believe in the Bible yourself. Can you? Okay? Because there's a lot of people, they say, well, I believe the Bible, but it's just like another book. Okay? So I read secular books and I read the Bible. Okay? And the Bible is treated like another book. So the Bible student must have complete confidence, in the Bible. Now, let me ask you a question. Is the Bible a book that contains the Word of God? No? Why is that? It is the very Word of God. Okay? Because if it's a book that contains the Word of God, then there's a possibility it does not contain some of the words, some of the books that it contained is not the Word of God. And so we claim to be an effective Bible student, we must have the confidence that this is the Word of God. Nothing more, nothing less. Right? And what man has done is that they did add, they did subtract, and they did eliminate some verses in the Bible. That's why I'll tell you this, we cannot accept the other versions of the Bible because they have done those three things. They have eliminated some verses, they have changed some words, or deleted some words in a verse, and they've also added into the verse. Okay, what they've done as well is they've changed words within a verse. Okay, that changes the meaning totally of the scripture. Okay, so God has promised to preserve his word. He promised that. And we know if we can look back into the earlier years, okay, man has tried to burn the Bibles. Just get it out altogether, okay? Let's burn them so that there's no Bible around, right? And so, were they successful? Well, it's obvious, right? We have the very Word of God that's preserved in the King James Version. All right. Now, I do not say that I'm a King James only person, but you know what? Because the King James is the only version of the English version of the Bible that was actually translated out of the original text of the Textus Receptus, that I can say, because the Textus Receptus is free from any errors, okay? And so I can say that my Bible is free from errors. Can you believe that? Because if you don't believe that, there's no sense of us going through this study, right? And you have, for you to be, to have, to take a lot more from reading the Word of God is that you must believe that it is the very Word of God, okay? The new versions with their textual corruptions and linguistic innovations create far more problems than they solve. You see, the difficulty of understanding the slight antiquation of the King James Bible can be overcome by a little study of the judicious use of the few good tools that we have. Now, there's two serious errors that pertain to the modern Bible versions. Okay? And we'll take a look at that, and then we can talk about it. Right? Problem number one, or error number one, is that modern versions are based on the wrong Greek New Testament. It is based out of the wrong Greek New Testament. Now, which New Testament? Which Greek? Greek is that? Greek word is that? Greek New Testament. It is based out of the Westcott and Hort, Greek text. Okay? And by the way, if you research Westcott and Hort, they're not actually saved. They're not people that know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Why? Because everything that they've done with their Bibles, with the Greek text, was to destroy the very doctrines that we believe in. First of all, they destroyed the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And so if they destroyed the Greek text that they came up with was already corrupt and it destroyed the very deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, then those versions that they came up with that was translated out of the new Greek text, which is the Westcott and Hort, then we could say that this are also corrupt. Can you say that? Because it's logic, right? It's the very logic tells us because the root is corrupt, then the fruit is corrupt, right? And so problem number one, modern versions are based on the wrong Greek text. The Bible was completed by the apostles and received by the early churches, okay? The Holy Spirit gave the words of the inspired books. And he further enabled the early churches to discern between inspired and uninspired. They gave that power to the churches, okay? The church of Thessalonica, for example, they knew that they were receiving the word of God and not merely the words of man. That's why they believed that the Bible was the word of God, and so when they heard people talk about the Bible, what did they do? Especially the Bereans, what did they do? They searched. They checked whether or not these things were true. Okay? So, number two, there was a great attack upon the scriptures in the centuries following the death of the apostles. And we can see that there was an attack. And especially the Roman Catholic Church tried to keep the Bible out of the hands of the people. And so countless copies of the Bibles were actually burned. They were burned, and multitudes of believers were what? They were put to death for possessing them. Now, they made it also illegal to translate the Bible without special permission from the Catholic institutions, Catholic authorities. Okay? So they made it illegal to translate. Okay? And that permission, if you were to translate the Bible and got their and seek their permission, 100% you're not going to get the grant. You're not going to be granted. Okay? Many translators of the Bible were burned at stake. They were burned, okay? Including William Tyndale and John Rogers, who were the two fathers of our English Bible, okay? Most of the biblical records from the Dark Ages were destroyed, but we know by faith that God has preserved the Holy Scriptures during that period, and even until now. The Bible says, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And that's in the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18. Also in the 1500s, the Bible emerged of the Dark Ages. And guess what? The first Greek New Testament was printed in 1516. This was now called the received text. The received text, or we call it the Textus Receptus, because Protestant and Baptist Christians of those days believed it was the one that God had preserved. Now, it was translated into major languages of the world from the 1500s to the 1800s. People had confidence in the Bible and that knowing that the Bible, their Bibles that they have, were the preserved word of God, okay? And then, there you go, it's cooperating. Okay, the received Greek text, New Testament, was challenged in 1881. And this was the year when the publication of the Westcott and Hort Greek New Testament in England. All right? This was the same year in 1881. This was the product of modern textual criticism, which treated the Bible like any other book around. Okay? So the English Revised Version of 1881 was based on the Westcott-Hort critical text. Since then, there have been two competing Greek New Testaments. All right? Most of the modern versions have been based on this new Greek text. Like, for example, the Revised Standard Version, the American Standard Version, and the New American Standard Version, plus the New International Version. Okay? So, the new Greek text contained many doctrinal errors, doctrinal corruptions, and these have been carried along into the modern Bible versions. I'm sorry, I just... It contained many doctrinal corruptions, right? And no doctrine is removed entirely by these corruptions. But guess what? The doctrine was weakened. It was weakened. And we're going to take a look at some of those that were weakened by the New Greek text, okay? By Westcott and Hort. Okay? So let's go to... let's see. John chapter number 1. John 1:14. We're going to take a look at some of these, and as well, I'll read to you three other versions, okay? Now, at the outset of our study, I said there's one thing that we need to memorize. What is it? There's one very important thing that we need to memorize, and that is, if we are to study the Bible, first off, is we need to know where the scriptures are as they appear in the Bible. Okay? So next Sunday, we're going to ask maybe three volunteers, but if there's no volunteer, we will volunteer three. How's that? All right? So what you need to do is memorize the books of the Bible as they appear chronologically in the Bible, from Genesis to Malachi in the Old Testament, and from the book of Matthew to the book of Revelations in the New Testament. All right? So let's have three volunteers, okay? If you want, you can just do the Old Testament, the New Testament, or if you really want to do it, right, and have A as your grade, do it from Genesis all the way to Revelations. All right? Is that fair? Is that fair? I think it's fair, isn't it? I mean, there's no way you can escape that. Okay? We have to memorize the book of the Bible, because guess what? If the pastor says, open your Bibles to the book of Hezekiah, chapter number 12 and verse 2, will you be able to open it to that book? Why? Why not? I ask you to memorize the books of the Bible. Are you sure? Okay, there's no Hezekiah. You're right. Okay, there's no Hezekiah. And so if you don't know the books of the Bible, you'll keep opening your Bibles and you'll never find it. But you'll keep turning your Bibles, right? The pages of your Bible. So, again, let's do that, okay? And we're not going to do this as because it's fun to do it, but because we need to do it. We need to memorize the books of the Bible, all right? Fair? Fair enough? Okay. So, here we're going to go through some of the doctrinal corruptions that the new versions, or the original Greek text by Westcott Hort, have corrupted, okay? And especially they have corrupted the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. They have downplayed the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we know that Jesus Christ is God, isn't he? Don't we know that? Okay, so we know that Jesus Christ is God, but the new versions now have downplayed that very doctrine that Jesus Christ is God. Okay, and let me show you John chapter 1, John chapter 1 and verse 27. John chapter 1, verse 27. Can I get someone that can read this loud for us, please? John chapter 1, verse 27. Thank you. Okay, so he it is who coming after me is preferred before me. That phrase preferred before me is not in the other versions. You can only find this in the King James Version of the Bible, all right? John, let me read to you the American Standard Version of John 1:27. Okay? I didn't bring the books of the different versions, but I actually have downloaded this. I'm using eSword. How many use eSword, by the way, to study the Bible? eSword is the best study software there is, okay? And you can download several books of the Bible, several versions of the Bible if you want, several books, commentaries, okay? And you can read through that, and they're all free, by the way. You can even download a version that can read the Bible for you. Okay, you just have to listen to it and read at the same time. Okay, John chapter 1 verse 27c says, what's that? 127 did I say? John 1:27 reads in the American Standard Version, "Even he that cometh after me, the latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to unloose." Are you reading your Bible, 1:27 in King James? Compared to what I'm reading here, "Even he that cometh after me, the latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to unloose." Right? In verse 27, let me read that again in the King James. "He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe's latchet I am not worthy to unloose." Okay? So they've taken out the preferred before me. Is that important? It is important, isn't it? Who is preferred before me? Okay? Now, the other, next one, John chapter 3 and verse 13. By the way, the one preferred before me, each little expression such as "it is preferred before me," like so many pieces in a puzzle, was designed to make its own contribution to the completed picture of Christ on the Bible page, his person, his works, his character, incomparableness. Yet they are systematically left out wherever possible in the New International Version of the Bible and all of the other versions. Okay, the one I read to you is actually American Standard Version. I'll read to you the revised version. In verse 27, it says there, "Even he that cometh after me, the latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to unloose." Okay, that's almost the same as the American Standard Version. Here's the Goodness Bible. The Goodness Bible says, "He is coming after me, but I am not good enough even to untie his sandals." All right? Not good enough even to untie his sandals. Did you see the comparison there? It's not even close. Right? It's not even close. All right? So John chapter 3 and verse 13. The Bible reads in King James, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." That's in verse 13, right? Now let's go to John 3:13. 3:13 in the Good News Bible. And no one has ever gone up to heaven except the Son of Man who came down from heaven. Okay? And no one has ever gone up to heaven except the Son of Man who came down from heaven. Now, let's go to American Standard Version. No one hath ascended into heaven, but he that ascended out of heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. All right? So, the Revised Version says, and no one hath ascended into heaven, but he that descended out of heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. Now, what have they taken out there? Okay, removing this powerful witness of Christ's divine omnipresence, which is in heaven, right? That's the which is in heaven. One of the traditional evidences that Jesus is God is that his characteristics of God, and when the passages demonstrating those characteristics are corrupted, guess what? The evidence of Christ's deity, or the God being Jesus Christ being God, is actually weakened. Okay. Here's another one. Acts chapter number 8, verse 37. Acts 8, 37. Acts 37 reads, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Let me read to you Acts 8:37 in the American Standard Version. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, in verse 37, what did that say again? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. All right? Guess what? In the revised version, guess what? In the revised version, it's weird. Okay, it goes from Acts chapter 8 and verse 1 all the way to verse 36. And what's next after verse 36? Verse 38. So I'm looking here, and there's no verse 37. So they've actually deleted that whole verse. Now, let me know if this is not important. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Isn't that important? It is important. But in the Revised Version, for some reason, verse 37 is not there, but it continues from verse 36 to 38. There's no 37. Let's take a look at the Good News Bible. Same thing. From verse 36, it jumps to verse 38. And they've eliminated verse 37. All right? So, in Acts 20, 28, Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Acts 20, 28 reads, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Okay? Now, let's go to Acts 20:28 and okay, book of the American Standard Version, It says there, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit hath made you bishops to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. Now, it says here, take heed unto yourselves and to all flock in which the Holy Spirit hath made you bishops. Now, to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. What was taken out there? In verse 28 in King James, over which this hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he purchased, hath purchased in, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit hath made you bishops, okay? By the way, bishop is also the overseer, right? Okay, the same meaning. To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. To feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. Right? So, what have they done here? The phrase, the church of God, is changed in most modern version to the church of the Lord. This change is significant. Why? Because ancient heretics such as the Arians and the modern heretics such as the Unitarians and the Jehovah's Witnesses have a distinction between Jesus as the Lord and Jesus as God. They have made that distinction. If it was God that purchased the church with his own blood, then Jesus that died on the cross is clearly God, and there is no room for this heretical deprivation. But if it were more ambiguous, Lord that purchased the church, guess what? There is more room of the doctrine of ancient and modern heretics that while Jesus is Lord, he is not at the same time God. All right? So they've changed this. They've downplayed the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ by changing some words and eliminating some words from the verse. Okay? So which throws us off, all right? And that's why it's dangerous for us to be reading some other versions of the Bible, because we don't know exactly if we can make a comparison with the actual version that was translated out of the original manuscript, the Textus Receptus. Guess what? We won't know exactly which is right and which is wrong. So we'll accept it as yes. That's the danger. All right? So, Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. Romans 14:10. Romans 14:10 reads, But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? So let's go to the American Standard Version. Romans 14:10 in the American Standard Version. But thou, why dost thou judge thy brother? Or thou again, why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. So is there any difference there? But thou, why dost thou judge thy brother? Or thou again, why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. What was changed there? They've changed the word God, Christ, right? Which is in the King James, they changed it to God. Is there a difference? Is there a difference? Let's read the other one. Revised Version, 14:10 says, But thou, why dost thou judge thy brother? Or thou again, why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. That's the Revised Version. The Good News Bible says, You then who eat only vegetables, why do you pass judgment on others? And you who eat anything, why do you despise other believers? All of us will stand before God to be judged by him. Okay? We know that the Goodness Bible is you know, it's just basically, he made fun of all the verses of the Bible, the guy that translated this. Okay? And so what was taken out here? What was changed? They changed from the words Christ to God. Okay? So we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's God. Right? We know, but because we are going to be standing before the judgment seat of Christ. Right? That when is the judgment seat of Christ occurring? At the same time as the tribulation period. Right? All those that are taken up into heaven, okay, during the rapture and the first resurrection, they will face the judgment seat of Christ as the unsaved is going through the great tribulation. All right? So, we've studied that, and so the judgment seat of Christ is changed to the judgment seat of God. So when we compare with Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 23, the judgment seat of Christ identifies Jesus Christ directly as Jehovah God. Okay? Whereas the judgment seat of God does not. Thus, the change significantly weakens the Bible's overall testimony of Christ's deity. All right? So, let's read one. Okay, for Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. The Bible, the King James Version reads, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." Okay? So, before I comment on that, let's go to the American Standard Version. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, right? Okay. American Standard Version, American Standard Version, "And to make all men see what is the dispensation of the mystery, which for ages hath been hid in God, who created all things." Now, what was taken out there? They've taken out Ephesians 3:9, right? They've taken out what? "Who created all things by Jesus Christ." So they've downplayed the role of Jesus Christ in the creation. Right? In the creation. And we know that Jesus Christ was there. Okay? With the Father. Okay? "And to make all men see what is the dispensation of mystery, which for ages has been hid in God, who created all things." God, we know God created all things. But in the book of Colossians, it says that Jesus Christ created all things as well. Right? Let's go to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 16. Chapter 1, verse 16. "For by him," talking about in verse 7, all the way to verse 14 or 13, "who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Who is that? Jesus Christ, right? "In whom," who's that? Jesus Christ, "we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him," here is this, "for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." Who created all things? Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says in Colossians. But what they do here, they've taken out Jesus Christ altogether, okay? And this is also a verse which clearly says that, verse 9 says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." You see that? And so they've downplayed the role of Jesus Christ and because they think, they say, Jesus Christ is not God. Ephesians 3:9. Ephesians verse 3 and 9. All right.
Do you have Psalms on there in your list? Check. Do you have a good passage to check is Psalms chapter 12, verse 6 and 7.
Really good. Psalms. I don't have that in my list, but.
Psalms chapter 12, verse 6 and 7 is a really good text.
And the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from the generation forever. Yeah, that's the doctrine of the preservation.
But look what the other texts do with that verse, especially in verse 7.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. The reason I don't have this, you know, on my list is because we're just talking about the deity of Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. This verse is in 6 and 7. In Psalms chapter number 12, talks about the preservation of the Bible, okay? And we believe that the Bible's preserved in the King James Version, okay? I'll say this again, the King James is preserved, it's not necessarily inspired, okay? Because what was inspired was the original Greek text. That was inspired, okay? And so if you're translating from the inspired thing, it's not necessarily inspired, but guess what? That's the way God preserved the Bible from that day, okay, until this very day. And it will still be preserved even when we're no longer here. It would still be in heaven, as Psalms chapter 12, right? It will be in heaven.
The other versions don't even say that. They say
it would be
something different.
Right. Just interesting. Let me read to you Psalms chapter number 12 and verse 6 and 7. In the American Standard Version, it says there, "The words of Jehovah are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace on the earth, purified 7 times." Okay? "The words of the Lord are pure words, silver tried in furnace of earth, purified 7 times." In verse 7, "Thou wilt keep them, O Jehovah, thou wilt preserve them from this generation forever." Okay? In verse 7, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever."
Well, if you look, maybe that version is okay, but if you look in the NIV or Revised Standard, they all say something completely different. They say, "O Lord, you will keep us safe and protect us from such people forever." So it completely misses the context.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I can understand that. Okay, most of these versions, by the way, are translated from the New Greek text, which is the Vulgate Nord, okay? And so they would, because they were translated from that, they would still be translate the same way, but except for the Goodness Bible. It's not necessarily, that's the Goodness Bible is something that it's junk altogether, right? So, all right, so let's go back to one more, and then we'll be done. Okay, in 1 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up into glory. Okay? So, the NIV reads, beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the spirit, was seen of angels, was preached among the nations, was believed in the world, was taken up in glory. Now, what was changed? Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body. Right? Who appeared in a body? He. Who is he? Right? So they've totally changed the meaning of verse 16. Right? It says that God was manifest in the flesh. We know that Jesus Christ is God. He came down from heaven and became as man. Okay? Became as man. That was, he was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. Right? Who was that? Jesus, in the person of Jesus Christ. Okay? Justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preaching to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Didn't he satisfy all these things? Right? He did satisfy all this. And so we know it was Jesus Christ, but now they've taken out God. And they said, they replaced it with the pronoun he, which totally changes the verse, right? So, next Sunday, we'll talk about the problem number two, okay? So the first problem was that the first problem was that modern versions are based on the wrong Greek New Testament, okay? It was based out of the wrong Greek text. The problem number two is that most modern versions use an undependable method of translation that's called dynamic equivalency, okay? We'll talk about that next Sunday, all right? But before that, we're going to have three volunteers to recite the books of the Bible, all right? Okay? Books of the Bible. How's that? Challenge taken? All right. That's a good challenge, isn't it?